Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Father Kieran Healy. Father Kieran directs a retreat house in Oregon. His preaching today is entitled, Do You Love Me?
From the Gospel of John. After Jesus had revealed himself to his disciples and eaten breakfast with them, he said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Simon Peter answered, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Feed my lambs. Then he said to Simon Peter a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon Peter answered, Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was distressed and said to him a third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, Follow me. And so, the Gospel of the Lord. To my mind, Jesus started a process that continues today. It's kind of a teaching process. But now we need it with even greater urgency. We need to reach out to all peoples and gain an understanding of how they're attempting to answer the critical question of today's gospel. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And because many of them don't even know of the question, or yet it leads us to the central passion and business of our lives. The Lord poses a question three times. It gives us an idea of just how very important that question is, and also kind of the method of teaching. Traveling to different areas and cultures helps one realize how very different peoples are, and how important local customs and traditions can be in the life of the people. This is more true than ever in religious customs and practices. As a missionary in Kenya, I observed firsthand how different and important local religious customs can be. As an outsider, we do not always understand or fully appreciate the deeper rhythms and meanings of religious expressions in the lives and cultures of people who are new to us. Some of these practices are delightful. For example, the way the Kenyans had of bringing in the gospel book while singing and dancing. Nipe Biblia, bringing the gospel. Some are pleasantly surprising. After each Sunday Mass, before we gathered for coffee, the reader, Duncan Kabiru, would introduce newcomers to our community and really give them a warm welcome. We were not always wealthy there, certainly, but people would give generously of what they had. I can remember several times after providing Mass or a talk for the community, returning home with a live chicken in the back of my car. It takes time and experience to discover and appreciate the unique genius of a people and a church. Recently, I came upon some ideas by the Dominican Richard Woods that have been most helpful to me as I try to understand and more fully appreciate the religious sensibilities and preferences of my brothers and sisters in Christ. In his book, Mysticism and Prophecy, Richard Woods offers what for me was a whole new take on the word God. He says, the little word God comes to us in English and related languages from an Indo-Germanic root, which means to call upon someone. A God is one who is invoked. God is thus not a name, but a title. Behind the title is the marvelous one whose name is not lacking, but beyond all meaning. And at the heart of the little word God is a cry for help. Radically, to utter the little word God is to pray, to acknowledge our dependence and reliance on a power and a presence totally beyond us and unutterably near us. Then further on, he states, only a creature can say God. So when a friend of mine or yours cries out, oh my God, it may not be just a careless use of the divine name, but a call for help, or an expression of admiration or of delight. But even more so, a gesture of recognition of our deep dependence on our Creator. I found Richard's thoughts most helpful as we try to bring understanding to all of life's experiences. My mother was a very proper Irish Catholic and would never think of swearing. But now as I think back at some of her sayings, glory be to God, or Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, help us, when we kids were driving her crazy, I find that Richard Wood's more generous understanding of such utterances is very helpful and really increases our understanding and knowledge, and more in line with orthodox and fundamental belief. My mother would never think of swearing, but my brother and I would often drive her to the edge. Apart from moments of exasperation, we can use this knowledge as a challenge to a broader and deeper experience of the divine name as it's expressed and uttered in every situation and in the life of every person. In our prayer, perhaps even more important, in our expressions and references to God in our everyday experiences, we discover this deeper meaning of God's presence in the lives of our brothers and sisters. I would suggest what I would call the poetry of the ordinary as a way in which we can express the mystery of the divine as God so generously and yet surprisingly touches our daily experiences. Step aside from the usual round of challenges and obligations, and it's good for me at these times to take a deep breath and just delight in naming God in new and more compelling ways. And as I do so, my prayer advances from the predictable mumbling to the exciting discovery of the wonder of God's presence in all other people and even in the unexpected challenges and problems that make up my ordinary life. I need to say to myself, don't be so duty-bound. Step back regularly, even daily, from the problems and annoying difficulties and even the people who could define my life. Don't be frantic or annoyed, but rest in the infinite comfort of God's possibilities. Instead of duty, obligation, problems, rest in the option of possibility, discovery, invention. You and I are children of God and persons reflecting the divine stature, if we wish it to be so. Holiness has to do with our movement from a cautious, rule-observing, timidly passive follower to the more creative status in life. Simon, son of John, do you love me? The Lord asked Peter three times, and Peter, a bit impatient, answered, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. So we're moved to consider what these three questions and three injunctions can mean in our own lives. As a priest, I've tried to be helpful to people. I serve here, but Jesus, in this passage, seems to be asking for something more. Feed my sheep. It seems that Jesus is asking and encouraging us to be something more than just faithful and reliable. More than ever, faith for our time needs to be a work of imagination. And there are some conditions that surround the journey and lead us to God that need a deeper examination and understanding, a discovery, an invention perhaps. First, as a pastor, I need to be prayerfully and carefully present to and listening to what is most important in the lives of the people I serve. Second, I need to let people know that I am with them in their journey. And finally, I need, along with them, to be transformed by the challenge and experiences that we share together, even those difficult ones that bless our time together. A successful teacher just does not impart knowledge. No, he or she who risks speaking the truth becomes transformed by that understanding and that contribution. Yes, even the love that arises from his or her hearers. Today's gospel ends with the challenge, follow me. So after we have sorted out the ways in which we might help understand and learn from our brothers and sisters whom we serve, we might rise up with them and do the most surprising things possible, not to endure, not to patiently suffer, but to step out in a new direction that is blessed by our encounter with Jesus, our friend, our teacher, and our God. No, the duty-bound life is not for us. We would entertain a far more joyful and compelling and creative life through our following of Jesus. May God bless you this day and allow you to join me in just such an answer to God as he says, Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And may your answer set you free.